Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. The Alaska Department of Education and Early Development has opened the public comment period for proposed regulation change that redefines what counts as a local contribution for school districts. The proposed change would count municipal funding for non-instructional services like transportation and school meals toward the maximum amount districts can receive from municipalities. Local municipalities are limited in how much can be contributed to a school district's instructional services. According to the Alaska Council of School Administrators, at least 18 school districts currently receive local funding for non-instructional services. The Juneau School District is budgeted to receive more than $2 million this coming school year for non-instructional services. The Education Department brought the proposed change to the State Board of Education earlier this month as an emergency resolution. That means it would have immediately gone into effect if approved. Public backlash from school administrators, parents, and city officials around the state urged the board to instead put the regulation up for a 30-day comment period. The public comment period will run until 5 p.m. on July 23rd. Comments can be physically mailed or emailed to the state board. There will also be a comment period at the next board meeting scheduled this October, where members of the public can testify by phone or on Zoom. And a cargo ship carrying thousands of vehicles that caught fire off the Western Aleutians sank Monday amid salvage operations in the North Pacific Ocean. The 600-foot Morning Midas began to burn about 3 weeks ago near Adak Island. The fire continued for around 2 weeks when officials reported no more signs of fire on the boat. According to the ship's manager, Zodiac Maritime, it went down Monday morning after sustaining damage from the fire and taking on water in heavy weather. In late May, the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities sent out a press release announcing its intent to move forward with the Cascade Point Ferry Terminal. It'd be located 30 miles north of Juneau's current ferry terminal. Skagway officials bristled at the news and unanimously agreed to send a response protesting the current plan. KHNS reporter Melinda Munson has the details.
The Skagway Borough Assembly voted at its last meeting to send a letter to the Alaska Department of Transportation expressing their numerous concerns with the Cascade Point Ferry Terminal. Assembly members say the project could be inaccessible and uses funds that could benefit rural communities with aging infrastructure. Here's Assembly Member Deb Potter.
This is in direct response to the DOT's announcement that despite our constant input that Cascade Point Ferry Terminal would have some issues and concerns for Skagway, they're moving ahead with it anyways.
The new ferry terminal would cost approximately $77 million and is meant to supplement existing ferry services at Auk Bay. It would be built on land owned by Gold Belk Incorporated, a Native corporation in Juneau. The Department of Transportation says the terminal would cut up to 2 hours off of Skagway and Haines Ferry trips and provide better reliability by reduced marine miles and exposure to weather. The state says the new terminal would also save on operating costs. The state has been considering the Cascade Point Ferry Terminal for approximately 2 decades. But the Skagway Assembly wasn't sold on the proposal. One of their concerns was the state investing money in new facilities while ignoring older infrastructure in small towns. Again, Deb Potter.
It's a little disappointing, given the state of our ferry float that sank 10 years ago and still hasn't been replaced.
Assemblymember Orion Hansen brought up logistics.
It's hard to get from Auk Bay to downtown Juneau or to the airport or anywhere. And 30 miles further, where there is, to my knowledge, nothing, sounds a lot worse for us.
The Assembly's letter to the Department of Transportation questions how the Cascade Point Ferry fits into the long-range plan for the Alaska Marine Highway System. The state accepted bids from contractors on the project through mid-June. In Skagway, I'm Melinda Munson.
And a federal bill that would likely include cuts to Medicaid passed the United States House and is being considered by the Senate. A Klukwan mother and son, who could be negatively affected if the bill passes, traveled 3,500 miles to Washington, D.C., and joined other families of children with intense medical needs to protest the bill. KHNS's Melinda Munson spoke with the pair about their trip and their concerns.
Which means, according to name, means man who grows fast, or even
This is Klukwan resident and soon-to-be eighth grader David Anthony Hotch, giving the Tlingit introduction he had prepared for when he met Alaska lawmakers. David was born with a genetic condition that has required multiple surgeries throughout his life, as well as expensive medications and other medical interventions. He is insured by Medicaid.
Medicaid is like very important because it gets me the medicine I need to have an actual life, not just be cooped up in my house 24 hours.
David has done advocacy work with the group Little Lobbyists, which started in 2017 to help protect the Affordable Care Act. This time, Little Lobbyists asked David to join around 24 youth at the Capitol, speaking out against the Big Beautiful Bill. Among other things, the legislation seeks to cut $880 billion from a part of the budget that includes Medicaid. David's mom, Maggie Hotch, says Medicaid has been a lifeline for their family. Ironically, when David was born, Maggie and her husband both had medical insurance. But even double insurance wasn't enough to cover the steep price of healthcare for a chronic condition.
So it has taken us over a decade to recover financially as a family from the medical debt that we incurred, even when we both had insurance.
Medicaid covers David's treatments, his travel to doctor visits, and provides in-home caregiver services. Mother and son say any cuts to Medicaid would be detrimental. This was the message Maggie Hotch wanted to deliver in person.
Unfortunately, we were not able to meet with the senators themselves, but we did meet with their staffers and share our perspective. I really think it would be catastrophic for Alaska's entire healthcare system if they were to cut Medicaid funding from anyone.
Besides being David's mom, Maggie is an occupational therapist, serving Haines, Clequan, Juneau, and Skagway. She has a wait list for clients and is worried about rural communities, which tend to rely on Medicaid coverage.
If they continue with these proposed cuts, we would likely have to shut down services to three of those four communities. Juneau would likely be the only place where we would be able to have enough revenue from private insurance companies to remain open.
Alaska relies on Medicaid in a big way. About 38% of Alaskans were enrolled in Medicaid last year, according to the state's Department of Health. And Alaska Public Media says only one other state, New Mexico, has a greater percentage of its population enrolled in Medicaid. In Chicago, I'm Melinda Munson.
A proposed ordinance to criminalize camping in Anchorage's public spaces brought a huge crowd to the city's assembly meeting Tuesday. As Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, tensions were heated from the beginning.
Dozens of people lined the walls inside the Anchorage Assembly Chambers, waiting to testify for more than 3 hours. The ordinance would make camping in a public area a Class B misdemeanor. That carries a penalty of up to 6 months in prison and a fine of up to $2,000. It would also replace the city's current abatement process, during which large encampments are cleared after notices are posted and homeless residents are encouraged to head to shelter while some set up camp elsewhere. Emotions in the chamber ran high even before the ordinance came up. Anticipating a high level of participation, assembly members voted to move testimony to the end of the meeting to get through the rest of their business. That prompted a rebuke from ordinance sponsor Keith McCormick.
People are still showing up that want to speak on this, and you are attempting to silence them by pushing this until midnight. That is disrespectful to everyone in here. I can't believe that you would try and push this away.
Point of order. Point of order.
Mr. McCormick, you're out of order. You're out of order.
That was Assembly Chair Chris Constant banging his gavel in response. Of the more than 60 people who testified, those opposed to the ordinance outnumbered supporters by a 2-to-1 margin. Many in opposition, like American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska lawyer Helen Malley, say it will put additional stress on an already marginalized population.
Just as our homeless population is unable to pay rent, they will be unable to pay a $2,000 fine. Instead, these fines will simply impose another barrier on their ability to stabilize their lives.
Others, like David Gober, question if the city had the resources to enforce the ordinance. Gober cited remarks from Anchorage Police Chief Sean Case, who recently said his department, as well as prosecutors, courts, and jail facilities, are not equipped to enforce the ban.
You people have enough knowledge here. You can write a better law than this, because this right here is really going to overtax his departments to the max. And you're not going to be able to fund them.
The ordinance's supporters describe the city's homelessness crisis as a public safety issue, with stories of people defecating in public, openly using drugs, harassing business customers, and trashing green spaces. Here's Gerard Farkas.
This is about safety of the citizens of Anchorage. This is about protecting ourselves from fire risk, drug risk, criminal activity, safety for our children. It gives the police a way to protect the people that pay your salaries, that build this city.
Anchorage Mayor Suzanne LaFrance introduced a narrower ordinance that would prohibit camping near certain public spaces, including on sidewalks and roads, within 500 feet of a playground, and within 200 feet of a trail. It would also prohibit unauthorized construction on public land of, quote, hard-walled, hard-roofed, or hard-floored structures, or any other construction aimed at facilitating camping.
We need to be able to move much more quickly than our current code allows. We must be able to root out encampments in these areas before public safety hazards arise.
LaFrance's version of the ordinance contains substantial changes and was only introduced Tuesday, so the earliest the Assembly could vote on it is 7 days later. The Assembly will hold a special meeting July 11th, where members of the public can continue to testify on either proposal, provided they didn't already testify Tuesday night. Assembly Chair Constant says he anticipates the body voting on one of the versions of the ordinance at that meeting. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 56 degrees and raining. It looks like we're getting some more rain tonight with a low of 52 degrees. Tomorrow, it looks like we'll have less of a chance of rain, only 30%, and a high of 58. The next day, though, Friday and the weekend look rainy, with temperatures in the high 50s. You're listening to KTOO. For more news, go to ktoo.org.